don't know about you, but I can't believe it's already July, but the fisticuffs in the ring are heating up, baby. Hopefully, happy 4th of July if you celebrate, and if you don't, that's on American Football Boys here, draped in gold, your one-stop shop for NXT content. But as always, I'm not alone. I'm being joined by the award-winning, the guy who's amazing, has so many dang suits and so many pocket squares, he can't make anyone jealous. Get over the real Jack Farmer. What's up, man?
I mean, you're just stating facts, Flobo.
You know? Yes, I am. I am.
It's true. I'm not. I won't say it. I'll let you say it. But it's true. You know.
Yeah. Okay.
Everything you said. I will say, who so wouldn't modest. Be celebrating July 4th, the day that the world recognizes as Independence Day? Just the kind of holiday that I think unites us as a planet.
Yeah, that's very USA-centric. Speaking of, we're here broadcasting live worldwide, but here in the only country that matters, apparently, on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. Write comments below. We'll have you involved and interact with us. And drapedingold.com, the podcast link. Make sure you drop one of those reviews. But let's get right into it. This week on NXT, clad in red, white, and blue graphics, we were treated to NXT Underground. It was Eddie Thorpe taking it on Damon Kemp. Gable Stevenson was out there for some reason, bringing back the revival of matchup. It was a little bit more hardcore than I expect, but I felt that it was a little odd that the Underground match was in the middle of the ring. I felt like that should have been off-site with Omos rocking the door, but it was right here, right front and center. Thoughts about the match first, and Eddie Thorpe may be on a roll.
Yeah, I think, you know, us traditionalists like our Raw Underground to be in a basement somewhere being guarded by Omos. You know, us guys that, you know, we like to do things the old-fashioned way. I agree with you on that. I will say, though, I love the setup of Underground in the sense that I love that people are right up against the ring. There's just something that makes it feel more anxious, you know, when you're watching, is it's more energy. There's people right there hitting the ring. They're involved. I thought that this was surprisingly a much faster paced match than you would expect from a match without ropes. Cause you think of ropes, you think of the running and the rebounds and the ricochets and the everyone who are using these things for added momentum. But I think not having anywhere to run to force these guys to stay on top of each other. And it made the match to me, Flobo, feel like a fast-paced grapple contest.
Well, absolutely. A lot of take-home, a lot of notes here for me. And I like the fact that Booker T called out Gable Stevenson for being like the most ineffective manager I have seen ever. But Eddie Thorpe was someone that I liked good enough. Watched him on Level Up. I'll be honest with you, I've only seen a couple of Carl Fredericks matches here and there. Please do not troll me in the chat if you're in the chat. Hey, what's up? But I do feel like a lot of things hit their marks here. Eddie Thorpe, tough as nails, got the win in a very convincing fashion, and now has a whole signature match to his name. Is there any other things you could say that Eddie picked up with his win over Damon Kemp this week?
Well, he clearly picked up a friend in Gable Stevenson, who's the kind of friend that picks fights, apparently. Did you see how people were coming in there, like, trying to give him a hug to celebrate, and Gable Stevenson would just throw him over his head? That was rude.
Yeah, it was. I agree with you, and I hate doing that.
Yeah, they were like, congrats, buddy. And he's like, ah! Like, whoa!
Is that Kale Dixon? Like, he's getting tossed?
What's that all about, Gable? But I do think that Eddie Thorpe has... When you start with a company like NXT, a company that has such a thick roster and there's so many people trying to be at the top, you need to find a way to stand out. And I think for the previous few months, he has been doing everything that he can to stand out as a competitor. And like you said, I think a signature match here, getting a win in an NXT Underground event, puts Eddie Thorpe on the map, and I think now can allow him to start shifting his sights from being noticed to start going after the big game, whether it be the bigger opponents or possibly even gold.
Now, what about Damon Kemp? It was his challenge. It was his idea, but he's the one holding that big fat L. I mean, where does he go from here?
Damon Kemp actually proved a lot to me. He came out. I always knew he was tough. I always knew he was a great wrestler. I actually respect him a lot more after this one. Because he hung in there and he dished out a ton of punishment himself. He withstood a ton of punishment. I don't think that we should gloss over the fact that the only reason Damon Kemp officially lost is because the referee chose to end the match. He didn't tap out. He didn't get pinned. He didn't lose in a traditional sense. So he doesn't feel like he has that big of an L on him, But I get what you're saying, but I'm saying I think Damon Kemp actually proved a lot of haters wrong.
I'm actually with you. As, again, being right and being real with the Jack is things I tried to avoid at all costs. But check this out. It was considered officially a ref stoppage by Alicia Taylor, but at the same time, it was a TKO at the commentary booth. If you're Damon Kemp, you do have some grounds for divorcing. You can be like, hey, look, it really wasn't. I was still defending myself. I wasn't knocked out. I should have another crack at this. And, well, will it ever end after that remains to be seen.
Yeah, well, I always say the official rule comes from the ring announcer. Commentary is speculating. So,
aren't you a commentator, though?
I do, and I recklessly speculate. That's all I do.
That's what I do, baby. Light work. Light work.
I will speculate about anything.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, you got to go by what the ring announcer says. And she's the one that has been informed by the referee and informed with the official decision. So you got to go by what she says. Yeah, I think Damon Kemp still has a very bright future ahead of him. I don't know if Gable Stevenson would ever be brave enough to try to cross paths with Damon Kemp himself. I don't think he wants anything to do with Damon Kemp personally, but I think I'd like to see that be the next step.
Before we move on to our next match, there's something that happened in the backstage in two vignettes I want your opinion on. Trick Mello Gang, which I tried to apply, but apparently there's no room for Trick Mello Flobito Gang, says,
Approve your application?
I put it in there. I had two references. I don't know happened.
I got my approved like right away.
Wait, hold on. Weird. Really? No, that's cool. Mello, what's up, man? Let me know.
You didn't get yours? I did. Yeah, it was like an instant thing. I didn't think they actually verified, but I guess they do.
I'm taking L's all week. First Twitter, now this. But Trick Mello Gang calls out Judgment Day, or at least says, we're ready for you to come down here. Finn Balor of the Judgment Day, I think the one of the co-leaders of Judgment Day, kind of rotates, says, I'm down as well. Now, look, I get it. These two guys were not the best of friends. It was going to be solved at some level, but is Judgment Day making the right decision? They got the win over Carmella a couple weeks ago in Raw. They don't really have to go back down to NXT, or will Pride be their downfall there, Jackery?
It very well could be. I think Finn Balor is one of the all-time greats. I think Judgment Day is one of the biggest threats in all of pro wrestling right now, especially with Damian Priest, who has a briefcase. And that's what worries me, Flobo. That's what really worries me, is Damian Priest in the briefcase. Because, right. Look, you're laughing, but look.
I am.
You know, over the shoulder of Carmelo Hayes is a championship, and it would not be the first time the Money in the Bank winner went after a NXT championship, if I'm correct.
The reason
maybe I'm thinking of the Royal Rumble with Charlotte Flair. Summer Challenge Day NXT champion.
Yeah, that was Charlotte Flair. But that isn't, whatever, it doesn't matter.
The point is, I think that Carmelo Hayes needs to be careful, because he might get in the ring with someone who very well could set him up to lose that championship.
Now, this is a question we had last year with Austin Theory, the Money in the Bank winner, going after the United States Championship. If you have access to the World Heavyweight Championship, and now the WWE Undisputed Championship, what would be the incentive to go down to NXT? It's just because as a person, because of the holder of the title, do you want to be able to have gold in different shows? If you have these bigger prizes, and theoretically, bigger contracts and bigger money and bigger purses going for the other two titles.
Look at what Carmelo Hayes had to do with the North American Championship. Look at how he elevated it. Look at how much better it became when he was the champion. And let me ask you a question, Flobo. Is Wesley a bigger star now or before he won the championship from Carmelo?
I think he'd be bigger with a bullet, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're Damian Priest and you see Carmelo Hayes with an NXT championship, and you look at, historically speaking, that the person who's able to get the championship away from him, your career explodes. I think if you're Damian Priest, it's a no-brainer to try to make this happen. If possible, I mean, that's a big if, but if you can make it happen, yeah, I think it's a great, I think Money in the Bank cashing in on Carmelo Hayes, risky, but very high reward.
I don't know, man. He is him. But let's talk about that North American title, the one that Carmelo elevated in the modern era. In fact, there were some people on Twitter who didn't even realize who he won the title off of, which is always a good sign about you elevating a championship. Mustafa Ali, again, Jack Farmer was right. We're going to have to make merch about that, because I will never say this ever again. But with a match against Tyler Bate today, got the dub, and then challenges Wesley for the North American title. This is the end game, it seems. Mustafa Ali couldn't be trusted from the minute I said maybe he might be a nice guy. But Jack says he was a rapscallion and he showed his true colors this week.
Well, I didn't say he was a rapscallion, but you did. I think he's a strategist.
Oh, I think he's someone who's very much
a chess player who's always going to look at two moves ahead. If he was a rapscallion, look, he knew he could beat Tyler Bate. If he let Tyler Bate win that match before, he'd be champion now. No, Ali, he wants to do it the right way. Now, these guys don't understand that, again, this is chess and not checkers. And that's why it feels like Ali's been able to just manipulate these two. But at the end of the day, it gets settled in the ring. Ali's going to be your new North American champion when all is said and done. And he didn't do it just by being good in the ring. He did it by having the smarts. Ali, I think you're teaching a masterclass. Chase, you take notes.
I like the guy, Mustafa Ali, but I hate the fact he comes out to the ring now because his theme song was my 2K creator wrestler theme song. But now it sounds all played out. So I hope he loses and fades away. But look,
wait, real quick. Sorry to step all over the transition here. I love that you said that because so often I pick songs that just aren't used by wrestlers because the generic themes are always lame, but like that, the ones that aren't being used are fire. So you're like, oh, these are great. I'm going to use this person's song. And then when they start coming out again, you're like, oh, I can't keep using that one.
Thanks a lot, Dana Brooke. I don't know her theme song is. Sorry, Dana. But Mustafa Ali is coming out now. He's going to have an extended stay in NXT. And well, general manager pick'em time there, Jack Farmer. Now you have a chance at looking at the roster. You know what people want to see because you're so good at what you do. Mustafa Ali is currently a free agent. Would you sign him long-term to be exclusive to the Gold Brand?
Absolutely. Why wouldn't you? This is a guy who was just a hair's breadth away from main eventing WrestleMania, Flobo. Absolutely a breadth, B-R-I-D-T,
It's a vocabulary thing. I got you. I'm with the public school. I'm sorry.
So well, if you went to Chase U, maybe, no, I don't know.
Chase U.
Look, he's someone who, he's a star. People know him. He's been on shows that have 2 million viewers a week. He's someone who's had matches with the biggest names in pro wrestling. He's young. He's also someone, clearly, as I just said, very smart, very talented. There's no reason why you wouldn't want Ali signed exclusively. I'm kind of shocked he's still available. I feel like he's one of those guys that is like a Russell Wilson in the draft, falling all the way back, and you're picking him up in a later round. I think this is a great opportunity for NXT to sign Ali.
Russell, NXT, let's ride. I feel so sorry for that guy, but I kind of don't.
I love what he did for Seattle, but I'm okay if he doesn't do very well elsewhere.
Let's talk about like those people who are free agents who aren't, because the former NXT champion Bron Breakker is not a free agent. He's still tied to NXT. There's been rumblings about him going elsewhere. But before he does, Ilya Dragunov, Un Bazikpa, has some unfinished business. And I love this because if you watch NXT week to week, you were definitely rewarded by the appearance of Un Bazikpa because these guys have no love lost between them. Jack Farmer, our actual last segment after our main event was this. Bron Breakker, Ilya Dragunov, Great American Bash on the horizon.
This didn't surprise me at all, and I don't think it surprised a lot of people. Bron Breakker really letting us know the truth. When you look at the ratings, he was personally responsible for the highest rating in NXT in the past 2 years. I don't know if you saw the numbers, but they jumped up like 200,000, 300,000 people all to see Bron Breakker. He's true. Right. Bron Breakker is a needle mover, and I think when you hear that he's a needle mover, and you believe it because the stats back it up. If you're somebody dragging off, you're like, how do I get the Bron rub? How do I get that? How do I get a little bit of that Bron with me so I can be near them? So of course, Dragunov came out to the ring. Of course, he wanted to be a part of that. Fortunately, security came out and separated him like they do most fans that come running out to ringside acting crazy. Fortunately, security was able to handle that. But Bron, I think message made clear, you're the new needle mover, and I'm glad I get to see him do it at such a young age.
You know, I'm gonna go off script a little bit because what you said really ticked me off there, Jackery. Because look, it's like about being a needle mover. You're Bron Breakker. This has almost never happened in professional wrestling at this level where our entire brand was built around you. When NXT 2.0 was going to be launched, your visage was in all the promo material. It does seem like you had every opportunity to show the world what you can do as NXT champion, not once, but twice. But guess what? It fell out. It was like, yeah, Braun's good enough. He's charismatic enough, but something's missing. In the meantime, Ilya Dragunov over NXT UK did more with less viewers, a smaller arena, but still had the kind of matches everyone was talking about. Dragunov versus Walter back then was one of the most spectacular matches ever. You have a match with Dragunov and Bron Breakker on the horizon, and you're calling Bron the needle mover? He counted how many matches he has. No one does that. By the way, this is episode 110 of Draping Gold. I don't think Bron Breakker has it. I think Ilya Dragunov will expose him, and when it's all said and done, it'll be Ilya on the main roster.
I think you said a lot of very true things there. The fact that someone like Bron Breakker, almost sight unseen, was so talented and such a force of nature that they completely rebuilt all of NXT around him. I mean, you got to think about, they basically took all of NXT Black and Gold and they were like, look at Bron Breakker. Forget about that garbage. Let's focus on Bronny. They put everything on him. And now we've got our show back. We're doing more. Bron Breakker is sending viewership records. And you said it yourself. Yeah, Ilya Dragunov from a smaller stage, from a smaller place. I think it's great that he's trying to get on the same stage as a Bron Breakker. I think it's smart that he's trying to take advantage of it. I don't know if it'll work. I think security agrees with me. They had him get taken away from Bron Breakker. But I think you're right. Bron has been able to completely carry this entire brand on his back with almost no experience. What an incredible generational talent.
You say carry. I forgot he was making an announcement until he came out. That's not what a caring person does. But guys, give a shout out to our chat there. Amanda Russ agreeing with me. I'll always get you featured. And Brian H. Waters, Wrestling Realm, breaking through glass ceilings. Wednesday Worldwide, the man just don't stop. Hey,
we don't have that much time, Flo. You can't go through everything Brian works on.
for real. And what's up? Pop Princess liking that Jack Farmer content. Not sure why, but I appreciate you being here today. This afternoon.
Just like facts, Flobo.
You know, whatever. People who agree with me will always get preferences. You know what I'm saying? But let's talk about our main event. I love a Lucha de Apuestas match. That's what matches have stakes, y'all. This one here is Loser Leaves NXT. The Creed Brothers against the Dyad of the Schism. And now, I know we try to keep ourselves away from the dirt sheets, the rags, if you will. We are upstanding wrestling journalists. There were rumblings about the Dyad. There were rumblings about them wanting to break out and be grizzled. But when it's all said and done, it's Julius and Brutus, or Brudi. Booker, what are you doing with that? Is that a gimmick or you just don't know his name? Anyway, it looks like these guys are being banished from NXT. Was it a surprising result for you, Jack, yes or no?
Not at all. I think if you run the tape, as they say, I never doubted the Dyad. I never doubted Schism. I think two people were proven very right in their faith this week, and that was Jack Farmer and Joe Gacy. Joe Gacy is someone who, from the very beginning, he never doubted these guys, and he kept saying, I would never put this team in harm's way. And everyone's like, oh, sure, right. He never lied. He was always up front. I believe in this team and they're going to do great. And as I said, Diamond Mine, always in their business, constantly, they actually accomplished a good. Now they don't have to worry about the Creed Brothers getting in their business anymore. Now they don't have to worry about them completely trying to drive a wedge between them. By the way, Mackenzie Mitchell also trying to drive a wedge between the Schism. It seems like everyone is working against these guys.
What do you mean? Mackenzie Mitchell, the commentator? Yeah, the one that works backstage?
You heard the way she was asking questions and trying to drive a wedge between the two, implying that there's problems. Joe Gacy's like, what are you doing? I don't even understand why you're doing this.
They had a family meeting in the media.
This is where fake news comes from, okay? People like Mackenzie Mitchell trying to spin her narrative about Schism, who is nothing but a group of people who want inclusivity, who want positivity, who want everyone to be happy. They've done nothing but try to share a positive message. And that scares people in big media like Mackenzie Mitchell.
First of all, what do you want Mackenzie Mitchell to ask about? And second of all, they had a family meeting in the ring where they were arguing. That's not coming out of thin air. That actually happened.
Yeah, they had the meeting because they were sick of the rumors. They were sick of all these people on it and these big media companies, again, like Mackenzie Mitchell, trying to create their own stories to try to make these toxic clickbait headlines. They approached it head on and they fixed it. And I think she still tried to pursue it, but now who has egg on their face, Mackenzie?
Let's go to the chat. Kazim says, I came for the conversation. I'm staying for the Hill Farmer. I deal with Hill Farmer all the time. That happy face farmer is all an act. And Pop Princess says, what she's supposed to do? Exactly, Pop Princess. What is she supposed to do? And how did she? That's her job. Amanda Russ knows what's going on. But the question, the result, I'm sure how you're going to spin this as being unfair or not unfair, is that there was somebody in a mask that got themselves near the ringside area. I saw a headbutt. You probably didn't. Explain that one there, sir.
Yeah, I think that just shows just how talented the dyad is. You notice there was all this commotion. First, Ivy Nile running across the ring and attacking Ava for some reason. Getting involved. And then in this hurricane of chaos, you have some person come from the fans and try to attack the wrestlers. But the dyad kept their head on a swivel, didn't let this interrupt their plan, and they still got the win. I agree with you, Flo, but the fact that the dyad was able to handle all of this chaos and still maintain cool heads and get the win shows just how talented the dyad is and maybe how unprepared the Creed brothers were.
In your opinion, you son of a gun, who do you think is behind the mask?
I mean, I don't like to speculate, Flo, though.
Yes, you do speculate all the time.
I mean, speculation is what causes problems with media. I can't just, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was Mackenzie Mitchell.
Wow. that would be a twist. That would, like, please nobody. That would be the end of wrestling as we know it. Mackenzie Mitchell, finally.
I mean, maybe she was trying to get an exclusive. Maybe she was trying to break up the dyad again during the match. It wouldn't shock me, you know, the lengths that these big media people like Mackenzie Mitchell will go through.
Well, the result's the same. The dyad is still in NXT for now. The Creed brothers, which I guess means it's the end of Diamond Mine. That's never been clear if it ended or kept going, given the graphics are the same. They're gone from NXT. That's two questions, man. Two questions I want from you. Ivy now is all alone with Ava Rain and Tiffany Stratton all in her sphere. And then the Creed brothers, they're free agents at this point. I mean, will they get picked up by which brand, do you think?
The Creed brothers are interesting. Now, I think that they have all the athletic gifts you're looking for a tag team you'd want signed. But if I'm them, I'm a little worried. They weren't drafted. These brands had the opportunity to draft them, chose not to. Will be interesting to see which brand ends up trying to take a flyer on them post-draft. Of course, as we've seen, Flobo, like in football teams, there's lots of players that don't get drafted. They get picked up after the draft and they still make a big impact on their team. So we'll just have to kind of see where that goes with them. Again, I think that they check the physical boxes. I don't know if maybe they just got their heads turned around being part of Diamond Mine, didn't have the right focus, and that's what cost them today. But we'll see how they do on the main roster.
That's fair enough. Very diplomatic and non-committal answer, but I'll let it slide in the interest of time. But Tiffany
Can't
Stratton...
Can't wait to say I was right. They signed with someone on the name.
I refuse. Yeah, I refuse. What if they don't get signed at all? He's like, well, they said they'll leave NXT. Real quick, I want your opinion about the whole Baron Corbin thing. He gave us an overture of his past personas, and I thought it was kind of cool that he came back with the Lone Wolf and didn't get it. But now he's going down a whole new path. So here's my serious question. Baron Corbin, you think he's sad, bro?
I don't think he's sad anymore. I think he's actually probably more positive than he's ever been. I think it's smart. In pro wrestling, people get so hung up on nostalgia and they get so hung up on the old days. You know, I heard the way you were just waxing poetic about Raw Underground, even though that was just a few years ago. You already got nostalgized for it. Now, Baron Corbin understands that that you can't keep going back. You got to look forward. If you keep looking back, you can never look forward. You can't move forward with your career. And I think it's smart that Baron Corbin saying, look, I'm going to burn the past, burn the ships, as he says, meaning there is no going home. And I think that's the smart thing to do. And I think that's the way he needs to be. I know a lot of people like the past iteration of Corbin. I know that some people, they like Constable Corbin. That was a lot of people's favorites. But I think it's smart that he's moving on and we're going to get a new version of Corbin, probably the one that we should have had years ago, and that is an NXT champion Corbin.
Chad, let me know if I got this wrong, but didn't Nakamura take his crown? Did he get the crown back from Nakamura? Actually, I don't really care. Don't answer that question. Kasim says, Creed Brothers with Chad Gable will be lit. Alpha Academy with more than one student. I'm down. It's been long enough. Right, Jack? What do you think?
I think that'd actually be a great fit for them because right now, Alpha Academy gets great reactions. People love them. They're a good group. And I think if you can hitch your wagon to a rising star, always a good idea.
Do you think it's too similar, though? Like, I felt like a rejection when Braun Strowman tagged with Ricochet because it looked so similar. It looked like it was a mini-me version of the same dude.
Well, I think that's where you got to be careful about the groups is I think sometimes when you add too many people, it dilutes what the group is. And I think if Creed Brothers, yes, physically they fit that group. Yes, their gear matches that group and they match in a lot of ways. But on the personality side, are they going to be able to match that group? Creed Brothers are a bit more intense. They're a bit more serious. I don't know if they would come across as wet blankets with the Alpha Academy, if you catch my meaning.
I'm all about that wet blanket life. I'm going home early. I'm not coming to your parties. You know, I just don't hang out with people. Wet blanket's all about me.
You got to be invited to not come, Flobo.
Oh, it's so true. I guess thanks, Carmelo. Hey, Chipmunk Gang. I got a question. Maybe you can help me out because you seem to be in the know. You're someone who's always has your ear to the pulse, hand to the pulse, ear to the ground, whatever the metaphor is. Wrong answers only or right answers only. What kind of business?
That's the only kind of answers there are.
What kind of business does Tony D'Angelo actually do? Like, I want to know this because it looks like your boy Stax made sure that the envelopes were full, but we have ourselves a little bit of a wager for next week. So I want to know what the stakes are here.
Well, if you want to know what Tony D's current business is, it's making license plates, and it's probably going to be that way for a very long time. Might even diversify into cleaning up some highways while he's at it, but Stacks. I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. Flobo, oh, Stacks is a genius. He is the smartest person in the room. Stacks, everyone, I saw social media. Everyone's saying Tony D this and Tony D that. Stacks,
where?
This is exactly how you play the game because Stacks is in a situation where no matter what happens, he wins.
Let's talk about this. Looks like there was an alliance made between the boys of Gallus and the family, the syndicate. I don't know. We have ourselves a wager. It is Stax versus Joe Coffey, the Iron King, next week. If Stax wins, which is a good possibility, Tony D gets sprung out because the charges will be dropped. But if he doesn't, if Joe Coffey wins, Tony stays in the slammer and possibly the trial of Tony D'Angelo.
Again, Stax wins in every scenario. If Stax wins, Tony D's out. He saved the family. He's a hero. And Tony D will never be able to question Stax's leadership or his decisions ever again because he'll have proven that he is capable. And in fact, might send a message to the rest of the family that maybe Stax should be the one calling the shots because he is navigating these waters perfectly without Tony D. And if he's able to spring Tony D, that even adds more to the legend of Stax. Stax wins in that situation. Now you may be saying, but what if Stax loses?
I wasn't.
Well, then Tony D's out of the picture. The underboss becomes the boss. He needs to take over. There's always a vacuum of power. That's where Stax comes in. Flobo, Stax wins either way. Stax is brilliant. Stax, you have managed this very well. And anyone who's not on the Stax fan train, it's too late. It's full. Already went off out of the station. I Stax, he's brilliant. I can't believe that no one else saw this but me.
5 minutes ago, I said I'm a wet blanket. So let me go full wet blanket here. About a year ago, year and change ago, Tony D's and his family took on Legado del Fantasma. And I had a problem with this then because I didn't quite know what the stakes were. And I'm having this problem now. What kind of family that Tony has? How big is it? How many people are involved? What kind of money? What's really at stake is this? So I don't really know if Sax is a genius. Maybe he's fighting for something that amounts to like a Costco membership. I have no idea.
Do you work for the IRS, Flobo?
I wouldn't. But
then, why on earth are you so interested? Why on earth are you so interested in trying to get all the financial details of this business? This isn't the kind of business. This isn't the kind of family that likes to go on the record with this kind of stuff, Flobo. Come but here on. You are, like, I want to see the W-2s of this place. Can I talk to their accountant and see where the money's going?
Can I?
Are they really spending that much money at an ice cream shop, or is this a laundry? Come on.
You can't be saying you're the Don of NXT. And I go, Don of what? Don't worry about it. Like, you got to tell me and show me how and why. No?
Well, right now, Tony D can't do nothing. So doesn't really matter what questions you ask. And Stack doesn't need to answer questions for anyone because he's running things now.
Let me ask you financial questions because I work with the IRS, apparently. This week, we saw a third promo featuring Lucian Price and Bronco Nemeth. They make their debut next week, and they were in a challenger. So what kind of car does Jack Farmer drive?
I don't drive myself. Come on. No.
I'm on a trial here.
No, this actually gave me I had a real question about this one, Flobo, and it's for you and everyone in the chat. Back me up on this. How never. Come you have never said that we are brothers, but not by blood, but by heart to me?
Because you just got into Trick Mello gang and didn't let me in.
So we're not brothers by heart? I thought we were brothers by heart.
Can't be. And you forgot my birthday this year. That's a callback, y'all.
Is it your birthday later this month?
No, your birthday is later this month, July 21st. And Jack hates it when you mention his birthday, so please do it. On July 21st, just tag him in every meme possible. Break his Twitter. Please do. You deserve it, buddy.
Well, this is I hate you. This is this whole thing here is I'm watching this, and they're talking about – these guys do a whole lot of talking about what they're going to do, Flobo.
True.
This is what – you know, we live in Los Angeles, and I can tell you, you know – we are surrounded by people that will spend all day telling you what they're gonna do, and then they never do it.
Right.
That's these guys everywhere. That, oh man, we're gonna be so good once we get into that ring. You know what would make you good? Getting into the ring and getting some dubs, fellas. Quit taking your time. Get in here already. If you're so great, show us.
I don't understand what they're supposed to be. Are they supposed to be like non-Usos, or are they like AOP? Are they just big dudes?
From what I understand, there are two guys who are neither good enough to make it in the NFL or in the domino tournament bracket.
Wow, the domino shade. That's not going to affect someone's identity, brother.
I mean, that's all they've told me. We used to play dominoes all the time, but we don't anymore. We used to play football all the time. We don't anymore. But man, are we going to be good wrestlers.
It's like
Homer Simpson. Every week, it's a new crazy business plan that's only going to last until the next
show. Lucian Price comes to your house, man. I'm going to be like, I saw it.
You got to get these dubs. That's what I'm saying. I got to see wins. Got to see wins in the ring. Until then, you're just talk.
Speaking of people who are losers, Noam Dar is crying over the Heritage Cup that he lost because he admitted on camera that he lost the Heritage Cup. But Metaphor is making sure that he's okay because Noam Dar is a really big loser. I just want to mention this. Has nothing really to add on to this. The fact that Noam Dar, the guy who lost the Heritage Cup, admitted he lost the Heritage Cup. That's it.
You're so blind, Flobo, to the very obvious. What's the name of this group is Metaphor. He was stating a metaphor, and the metaphor is he has lost the prestige of the Heritage Cup because now there's someone who's an interim champion. That's what he was saying, Flobo. Clearly, he was saying that he lost the prestige of what this was because he allows someone else to hold an interim championship, which he knows everyone hates that in pro wrestling, the whole interim thing. So he's calling that out. I can't believe you didn't notice that. I thought it was pretty dead on.
The mental gymnastics you just employed should have got you a gold medal. Well, whatever, man. I don't believe it one bit. He knows that Ora Mensa dropped the ball. Metaphor has no gold in that camp. Just putting it out there.
They have the Heritage Championship. You could see in that picture that there was a picture of the Heritage Championship. And I think that's basically the same thing.
That's not the same thing at all. There's a picture of anime version of me. I am not a cartoon. That doesn't prove anything, Jack.
I don't know. Graphics are pretty good these days.
Let's talk about people who are so mean, okay? Your girl Blair Davenport took on Roxanne Perez in the matchup, and I know you. I saw this when this happened. I'm going to say, Jackson put in his notes that Roxanne Perez attacked Blair Davenport from behind, and how dare she? But this is what you call a receipt, because Roxanne Perez last week was just minding her own business on Snapchat for some reason, where she got attacked by Blair Davenport. It's only right that a combat artist defends themselves, but Blair Davenport gets the dub.
No one is minding their own business on Snapchat.
I'm usually looking over my shoulder. I live alone. But come on, man.
I like this. I like this Roxanne Perez. I like the aggression. I like that she came out guns blazing. I think she needs more of that. I'd like to see her really take a little bit more of that attitude that she's clearly learning from Blair Davenport and apply it to more of her matches going forward. But let's not bury the lead here. Blair Davenport, born for this, and she got the win. And you're not going to beat a Davenport. Davenports don't lose, whether you're aggressive, whether you're an up-and-comer, whether you're the future, whether you're talented. Doesn't matter who you are. If you're not a Davenport, you're not getting the win. And so Blair Davenport does what Davenports do, and she gets the win.
I just want to say, last week, if you name her MVP, got me so mad. I was mad for the rest of the day. Stevie Turner would have won that match this week. But here's a question, though. I've noticed during this match, the crowd seemed to be behind your girl, your lady, your Blair Davenport. Looked like Roxanne Perez, who really was a darling of the CWC about 6 months ago, is losing a little bit of favor. Is that cause for concern?
For Blair Davenport? Roxanne Perez. For Roxanne Perez? It's I don't think she should worry about it. I think the fact that anyone who worries about what that crowd is doing is already doing the wrong thing. I think Roxanne Perez needs to forget who they're cheering for, whether they're booing her, cheering her, whether they're booing their opponent, cheering their opponent. None of that matters. You got to drown it out, because it doesn't matter how loud that crowd is. If you get pinned, you lost. And that's the way that Roxanne Perez needs to look at things going forward.
Whew, speaking about wins and losses, Kalani Jordan gets her first win ever in NXT, being accompanied by Dana Brooke. That Dana Brooke rub is 1-0. Taking on Tatum Paxley, someone in her own right who has a little bit of a lost direction since being disassociated with Diamond Mine. It's not really clear. I mean, they're kind of buddies, but they had a little argument, but whatever. Kalani Jordan, first win. She has very athletic. Looks like to be the future of the division. Dana Brooke is in her corner, but Tatum Paxley really was no pushover either.
Yeah, this was actually a really good matchup, and I got nothing but positive things to say about Kalani Jordan. She got a good win, and it wasn't just she snuck a win. I think she looked really good in this win as well. Tatum Paxley, I think, definitely saw is doing good things. I'm not throwing her out by any stretch, but of course Kalani won, so we're talking about her. Kalani, though, for her first time out there, looked great. Could have fooled me. If you didn't tell me it was her first time out there, wouldn't have known. I thought she absolutely felt like she belonged out there, and maybe it was the tutelage of Dana Brooke helping her get there, but I thought Kalani Jordan, the story of the match, I think you got a future star on your hands.
I'm a bit cynical just because I'm also a level up watcher. It looked like she's filling in that Sol Ruker spot just on body type and move set, being more of a powerhouse, despite the fact she's like someone who'd be more of a striker. But Cora Jade, the resident meme girl, I guess, came out, wasn't a fan of people actually doing their jobs on Tuesday nights, and says, Kalani, you're a meanie, and Dana Brooke's a meanie too. What's up with that?
Well, I think that Cora Jade is just communicating. And I think that this... I'm glad she calls herself the generation of Jade, because I think this other generation just doesn't know how to properly communicate and state things up front. And that's what Cora Jade was doing. She's saying, look, if you're a friend of Dana Brooke, you're an enemy of mine, because Dana Brooke's a bad influence. And she's trying to use the fact that she's a veteran to sort of act like she can tell people what to do at NXT. And you could see it a little bit here rubbing off on Kalani Jordan, because Kalani was definitely like, well, let's have a match right now. But fortunately, Cora Jade's no dummy. Cora Jade saw it happening. She's like, look, you can't tell me what to do. And I think that the fact that Cora Jade realized that Cora Jade is just a good example to young viewers everywhere to say, look, you don't have to accept what people try to boss you around and tell you to do. You can decide whatever you want. You don't have just a yes or no. You can say, look, don't tell me what to do. I'll do whatever I want. And I think that was a good message to send to everyone watching, especially the kids.
Well, Kalani wanted to fight, but Cora Jade backed down like a wuss.
No, she's no.
No question there. Just making a statement.
Kalani tried to tell her, let's have a match. She said, don't tell me what to do. I'll do whatever I want. And at that point, Cora Jade probably had more pressing matters she had to get to. Probably had an appointment. You know, her Cora Jade's calendar fills up. She's a busy person. She's a star.
Fair enough. I disagree, but I mean, I'm not going to argue who's a star if I'm not on TV every week, right? Also, in our ladies' division, JC Jane, someone I think personally is great, was looking for a little bit of direction, had a match against Lyra Valkyria with Valkyria getting the dub. And even though we could talk about JC Jane and her previous faction, which we can't really name anymore, the question I have is more about Valkyria. Is she the real deal? Is she ready for the prime time, the bright lights of the red and blue brands?
Almost. She thinks she's almost there. There's a thing in boxing, and they always say, keep your hands up. Right. Right. Always be on guard. I think that's what Lyra's missing right now. Valkyria's missing right now is she let her guard down. Just because the match was over, she let her guard down. I think that what JC Jane was trying to do is show her, this is what I've been trying to tell you and everyone else. You need to keep your guard up. I thought it was JC Jane really trying to send a positive message to Valkyria saying, look, you beat me. You're talented. You're quite the athlete. But always keep your guard up. This is a dangerous business. You got to. And so that's what she did. And she showed her that that's what she needed to do. I think I agree. I think Valkyria needs to understand that just because you got the three count doesn't mean it's over. Keep your guard up. And that's really the only thing she's missing right now.
If that was a part of her package, will she or could she be NXT Women's Champion in about a year or less?
Hot seat. Yes.
Hot seat. Really?
I think so. I've been a big fan of hers even back in the NXT UK days. As you recall, big fan of hers. I think physically she is the total package. I think she can hang in there with anybody. It's just a matter of, like I said, keeping your guard up. And you know, I'm a fan of aggression. I'd like to see a little bit more aggression out of her.
Not personally, you have to run away.
Not me. Yeah, I would. I'm not getting not against me. No,
right. Everyone else should be aggressive.
She can't tell me what to do.
Fair enough. I mean, she probably could, though.
She probably could, though. Yeah.
As you're writing this out, I got two more for you, man, because I love hanging out with you on Draped in Gold. And you're like listening to Draped in Gold or watching us. Make sure you leave a comment wherever you are witnessing this kind of greatness, especially the audio version. We need your help with those 5-star reviews over on Spotify and definitely that Apple Podcast. I'm so old, I used to call it iTunes, but it's Apple Podcast these days, and appreciate your support.
If you can, even if you don't listen to us, if you don't mind me jumping in, even if you don't listen to us on Apple Podcasts typically, help us out and just sign in real quick, hit the 5-star, leave a little comment. It's always helpful for the show.
I will wear a tank top like Booker T for some reason did this week if I get 20 reviews in the next 7 days.
Dang.
Oh, you don't jump in that one. Okay, let that one hang out there in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Flobo will wear a tank top. Anyway, Flobo will buy a Jack Farmer tank top.
No, whoa. I'm not going to pay out. speaking of bad ideas, Chase U is back their whole, and they're kind of done with that whole Charlie Dempsey, Drew Gulak thing. It's going to be tag team action on the horizon next week. Duke Hudson, your boy, Andre Chase, teachable moment against Drew Gulak and Charlie Dempsey because they don't like the way they were teaching the class here at Chase U. Thoughts about that?
I think it's everything that is wrong with our educational system, Flobo. This was just a list of things that is wrong with this generation and wrong with our educational system. First off, Thea Hale, the uncrowned champion. We're giving trophies to losers now. She lost the match. She's not it. She didn't win. We're not calling her. She doesn't get a nickname. She doesn't get a trophy. Right. She doesn't get any special treatment. Calling her the uncrowned champion just made me sick. I'm done with these participation trophies.
Flo, like Noam Dar?
But then also, what we have here is they're talking about Noam Dar never lost his championship. I would love you to show me the match where Noam Dar lost the Heritage Cup.
I can't.
It didn't happen.
I would love to, but copyright rules say I can't.
But also, this is another thing. Just because teachers who are effective at what they're teaching may not have the same ideas as you, may not have the same way of teaching as you, we're going to ban them from the school. This is how you get echo chambers, Flobo. This is how you get people who only have one way of thinking, and that's what's wrong with places like Chase U.
I don't know what to say to this because Chase U's a wrestling faction, but somehow you dropped a promo in our education system, but you're absolutely right about that.
They're a university.
I mean, are they accredited? We don't really know about that. You see, a lot of the things are not really confirmed around here. Like, for example, we had Kiana James going back to her office and Gigi Dolan painted it over, but we don't really know what Kiana does for a living. She just has an office.
I don't know what she does for a living, but the next thing she does, she'll be called the police about someone who broke in and vandalized her office. I would love to hear you defend Gigi Dolin for that, Flobo. Breaking
I won't entering. Because I'm a Keanu James mark. Gigi Dolin's a bad news bears, man. You know what I mean? If you want to take her out, beat her in a match.
Bears.
If she wants to beat Keanu James, beat her in a match. Just because she got humiliated doesn't mean she has to escalate. That, to me, is just so unclassed.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that Gigi Dolin should be in a cell right next to Tony D.
That'd be kind of weird. Like, what is that? Is it like a maximum security prison? Is it it's like for hardened criminals? Or
it's wrestling prison. It's actually kind of zany.
Oh, yeah.
Nails is in there still.
Right. JBL's the judge.
Yeah.
As we
it's
wind
actually
this,
a lot of fun.
Hey, come on through. You know what I mean? There's a gift shop at the end of it. It's now time for my favorite part of the show. You're not taking me off. It's time for the MVP of NXT. For those of you who are uninitiated, this is where I ask Zach who had the most positive impact on the show. Not somebody at random. Not somebody who was on TV for 10 seconds. Somebody who did the dang things. I'm going to ask you seriously this week, who is your MVP of NXT?
Joe Gacy. Joe Gacy by a mile. I mean, he had everyone trying to make him look like the bad guy, trying to twist his words, trying to bend his intentions to make it look like something was what it wasn't. But instead, through the sheer power of belief in people, he was able to not only help shepherd his team, the Dyad, to a win, but also get rid of the Diamond Mine, one of the most toxic factions in NXT. Joe Gacy brilliantly played today, and I think that Joe Gacy is easily your MVP of NXT.
I guess if there's a group in NXT that trains all the time, that could be seen as toxic. But I disagree with you because Joe Gacy disappeared in the back half of his own tag team's match.
I know who you're gonna say. It's fair, but Stax also had a great week, Flobo. He was able to get into a win-win situation, and I agree that he also really showed a lot this week. But I think Joe Gacy. I think Stax's big victory comes next week. I think this week it's Joe Gacy with a bullet, though.
My MVP was Eddie Thorpe. Here is somebody that came and had a lot of talent. Yes, and has a signature match under his belt. And that end scene with the crowd going with them on beat was definitely something that will stick in my mind as one of the highlights this season. Because we're always going to talk about Underground coming back to NXT. Eddie Thorpe was a part of that. The winner of that match, actually.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Eddie Thorpe. I've never backed away from Eddie Thorpe. I think that he's a very talented person. Like I said, I think that after that win, he'll potentially be lining up some bigger game.
Then why were you surprised when I said it then?
Just because there were so many people. Like I said, you had Stax, you had Joe Gacy, you had the Dyad, you know?
About high time to get out of here because I think Jack and I are going to fight after the show. But listen, man, I love hanging with you. Except the parts that I hate hanging out with you. If someone want to connect with you after the show to see if they can book you for things, how to go about doing that?
You can go to my social media. I'm at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I'm even on Spill now. Don't even know what it is. Don't even have a profile picture up. Just signed up for it literally right before we set it up. So I'm going to be playing around on that. So add me over there at Real Jack Farmer.
I love the fact that it's not part. No one steals it because they know that no one will get any engagement if they had a Real Jack Farmer. So that's why you can be able to part the ones you want.
Always available.
DrapedInGold.com. We're back here every Wednesday to talk about NXT. And if it's something you want to talk about, if you have an MVP of NXT, make sure you let us know in the comments below. Like, comment, subscribe, leave a review. Let's make this thing a thing. I'm out of here. I got to rest my voice. I've been out there screaming at baseball games all week. Until... Farmers say the words.
Do your best and be yourself.